All right, make sure you're in fellowship and turn to the doctrine of authority. It's always a fun one to go through. Reviewing this doctrine by way of Hagar and her rebellion against authority. And rebelling against her human authority, she ended up rebelling against God's authority. So, one of those points to remember. At Roman number 1, introduction. And obviously today, our society doesn't really know what this word means. But people do. I mean, obviously, I'm not blanketing everybody, but you begin to think and wonder. Roman numeral A, authority is that legal right delegated by God, whereby certain members of the human race have jurisdiction and responsibility for other members of the human race. It is a principle that God has established, and it is the principle by which men are to operate and function under. And just because people abuse authority does not make the principle in and of itself wrong. So B, authority exists within the establishment and royal chains of command. That means civil authority to be establishment oriented, to respect civil authority, no matter where they may exist in the hierarchy. The chain of command. And also, it includes those that are part of the spiritual responsibilities over others, which we refer to as the royal chain of command for the church. We are all royal priesthood, and we have authorities established in our lives, constituted, inserted by God Himself, through virtue of spiritual gifts and assignment of others to communicate doctrine to others, as well as other means and ways that authority may come about, such as through the office of deacon and otherwise. So we have authority on both physical and spiritual levels. Point B, continuing. Submission to all authorities is a believer's duty, apart from which there can be no spiritual progress. When one starts bucking authority, they are truly bucking God's divine ordaining of the principle, and they impede themselves spiritually in regards to not willing to submit and humble themselves, just as Hagar was impeding her spiritual progress by seeking to get out from underneath Sarai's authority. Yahweh made it very clear that is not the prescription. The prescription is to remain under her authority. So see, this doctrine is especially apropos today, since Scripture reveals it to be a major issue of rejection in the last days. Another one of those things, you can look out in the world, see all the idiocy, the rebellion that goes on. Obviously, most recent in regards to police officers and things of this nature. And recognize that none of this caught God off guard. The astute believer can know and expect this type of disobedience in regards to the time in which they live. It begins in the last days. Under the auspices of the New World Order, the one world government, essentially trying to be instituted through the League of Nations to begin with. Voted down temporarily. These people don't quit. Now it is in function under the United Nations. Our society wonders why people rise up and rebel against authority within society, yet they represent a government that is sponsoring and encouraging rebellion against God's authority under nationalism through support of the United Nations. You hear the lip service that comes out of our government and officials of truly trying to maintain the integrity of our national identity and things of this nature. You just understand it's just lip service. All it is trying to appease the masses. The real agenda is there, or else we wouldn't be in that damn building in New York all the time, supporting and encouraging and financially supporting the United Nations. So, you know, there's always the ticks of hope that these types will throw out to people. But let doctrine rule. Let doctrine keep your mind clear. There's still the attitude out there, well, we can make our nation great again. One great big ball of fire, yeah. It's not going to happen. We've seen its better days, so to speak. Psalm 2, 1 through 3 prophesies in regards to this whole United We Stand propaganda campaign that is being shoved down nations' throats on an international scale. Why are the nations in an uproar? The continuous conflict, the loud, boisterous personification of unrest, civil strife, things of this nature that comes about through implementing something that is so antagonistic to God in and of Himself, the one world order. See? Both Babylons, political and religious, are steeped into this stuff. Obviously, you keep up with the news, see Roman Catholicism, their complete ecumenical approach that's going on now. They're pushing that as big as they ever have with their little boys' clubs in Vatican. Being protected all the time. All this stuff is just so evil. So despicable. It's an abomination. See. And then, you know, our part, saying, in regards to our nation as a political entity, the people devising a vain thing. What's the vanity? What's the vanity? It all began in Babylon. The Tower of Babel. And Satan has pushed an agenda of a one world government over the centuries. And God continually thwarts it because it was not in His timing. But guess what? It is coming short to be in His timing to allow it to come about. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His anointed. Read Revelation. Let us tear their fetters apart, the kings, the rulers of the nations, and cast away their cords from us. We don't need the divine restraints of the divine institutions. And here, in particular, nationalism. In 2 Timothy 3:2, that this STA activity will dominate make clear these verses. Verse 1, know this. You've got to have the knowledge. You know, you hear them out there in the funny world. But it doesn't make a difference what you know. So what if you don't know what hypostatic union means? Yeah, you want to be ignorant? Yeah, so what? You know. Or other terms that even our prep school kids are familiar with around here. Bundys are just generally, in general, spiritually lazy. If it doesn't make them feel good, if they can't emote over things, can't be stroked, you know, in regards to their emotions, etc., they have no real interest, generally speaking. Obviously, you have the extremes. Some are worse and some are, if you want to say it, better. But anyway, knowledge. To have knowledge is not only to have power, but the ability to work one's way through life without becoming a catastrophe spiritually and getting wrapped up in the broil of the roar of the nations. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. And you say, well, these things have been going on since the beginning of time. Yeah, but it's rampant in the last days. I mean, quite honestly, you want to describe our political candidates today, just look at this. Lovers of self, lovers of money. Boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, that's revilers, disobedient to parents, rebellion against parental authority, ungrateful, can never be satisfied, happy even with good things in life often. And our society even gives these people ears and gives them leniency. Ungrateful. And no appreciation of grace. Unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. That's divine good especially. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll sit out there in the football stadium at 10 below zero, if you want to put them on the football game, I guess the one in Charleston, South Carolina, hurricane going on. They're out there playing football. Yeah, everybody's skiing all over the place, man. They hit the ground, they slide 20 yards because it's so wet. 2 inches, 3 inches of water. They might as well put a water wiggle out there and have some real fun, you know. And people will sit out there, they'll put up with that. Lovers of pleasure. But to set foot in a darken the door of a local, just a local church where the truth is being taught, forget it. Oh man, it's just too tough to get up on Sundays. Yeah. Keep that attitude up. God will jam your health and you'll be up all kinds of times in the night. 2 Peter 2:10. Obviously, I understand people are legitimately sick. I know that. but I'm not going to water down the doctrine otherwise. 2 Peter 2:10, and especially those who indulge in the flesh in its corrupt desires in regards to false teachers, false prophets, they support these things. They reinforce these things, sponsor them, and despise authority. See, despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. And part of that is the, quote, Christian, in quote, support of homosexuality today. That vice, that abnormal vice, has infiltrated deep into the church universal. Even the elect angels, this is an abomination to them. Well, you wouldn't say that if it was your kid. You don't know that. I guarantee that kid wouldn't be living in my house. You don't know me very well if you think that. D, arrogance is the underwriter to rejection of authority. James 4, 6 and 7, 6 through 7. He, God, gives a greater grace for those who are willing to submit to the authority of God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Submit to His authority. And His authority says submit to the authorities established in your life. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. E, all authority is derived from God. Those that exercise it will answer for the way they use it. Again, it's one of those principles God's big on. Every authority in life is there by the hand of God as He intends. John 19:11. The Christ, in regards to Pilate, even a civil authority, but he recognizes that all authority is established by God, but he also recognizes who he is. He responded as Pilate hands him the teaser of, you know, if you'll cater to me, I got power. I can let you go. Yeah. You not know I have authority to release you, verse 10, and I have authority to crucify you. And that is the way a lot of authority acts and operates with others. Flaunting the power that they can wield toward someone in order to get people to line up with them. See? Jesus responded, verse 11, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has a greater sin." And he is actually taking it right down the chain of command in regards to those responsible for him to be there to begin with. That's the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of Jesus' time. They're the ones that are wielding and abusing their authority to place them under Pilate's authority to have him crucified. And they carried the greater guilt in this whole situation. But they're obviously, for our intents and purposes, Christ's recognition that God establishes all authority. Romans 13:1 and 2,
which we'll have occasion to come back to the passage verses over and over. Let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. What goes around comes around. They'll reap the consequences of their rebellion against the authority in some form or fashion, whether it's through civil execution of law or God intervening directly. All right, vocabulary for the principal authority, Roman numeral 2, subpoint A in the Hebrew. One, you have our noun hod, H-O-D, or hod, translated majesty or authority. Numbers 27:20. Yahweh to Moses with respect to Joshua, you shall put some of your authority on him to give him authority so he may execute that necessary in regards to Israel in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. The way authority is supposed to work, when an authority gives somebody else authority, they are speaking on behalf of the first authority. The boss tells somebody in the company, even maybe low down on the totem pole, that I want this done or that done. You go out there and you tell them that I said this. And you hear the typical responses from people. Well, who are you? You're telling us the boss says do this, do that. Well, he told me to. One of those things. Two, our word for hand in the Hebrew, yad, Y-A-D, is metaphor, anthropomorphism, as it may be used in regards to God, denotes power, authority. Genesis 16:9, as we just saw there, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her hand. God is her authority. Three, our noun, kiseh, K-I-S-S-E-H, means seat of honor, an official seat. Hence, an authority, Esther 3:1. After these events, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him. Established his authority over all the princes who were with him. Four, Mimeshal, M-I-M-E-S-H-A-L, means ruler, dominion, or authority. Isaiah 22:21. And I will clothe him with your tunic and tie your staff securely about him. I will entrust him with your authority. You will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Six, Mashal, M-A-S-H-L, to rule, to exercise authority. Exodus 21:8. If she is displeased in the eyes of her master who designated her for himself, then he will let her be redeemed in regards to a female slave. And a guy buys her once for his wife and then decides he doesn't like her. He does not have authority to sell her to a foreign people. He doesn't have legal authority. His idea there causes this unfairness to her. Notice the displeasing is called unfair. Seven, shelet. Shelet. S-H-E-L-E-T. To rule, to have authority. Daniel 5:7. The king called out, bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans and the diviners. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, any man who can read this inscription and explain this interpretation to me will be clothed with purple, have a necklace that goes around his neck, and have authority as third ruler in the kingdom. Be exalted a third in charge. Eight, Tokef, T-O-Q-E-P-H, power, authority. Again, Esther. 9:29. Esther being between Nehemiah and Job there. I don't get there too often. 9:29. Then Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, that Mordecai, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter about Purim. Then 9, Tsawa, T-S-A-W-A-H, to give a command or order. Genesis 3:11. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Command from an authority. B, in the Greek, one, you have the primary New Testament word is exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Used 102 times. It means the inherent right to exercise authority or power, the right to use power, domain, or jurisdiction. Another Greek word for power is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, and it simply means power exercised. Example, Matthew 7:29. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Like they walked out of the religious funding world into the real world of sound doctrine with Jesus. 8:9. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, the centurion. Also 9:6. These examples have been in order. You may know that the Son of Man has authority, the power on earth to forgive sins. Translated, authority. Rise, take up your bed and go home, as he said to the paralytic. 2, other useful verbs that denote the exercise of authority include A, the compound ex. Usiazo, E-X-O-U-S-I-A-Z-O, used 4 times, means to have authority over someone. Luke 22:25. He said the kings of the Gentile lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. B, another compound verb, kata exousiazo, K-A-T-E-X-O-U-S-I-A-Z-O. It's used 2 times to exercise authority over someone. Matthew 10:20-25. Again, the context, the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, their great men exercised authority over them. Kad exousiazo. Mark 10:42. Same context. Compound verb epitasso, E-P-I-T-A-S-S-O, used 10 times to command, order, Mark 1:27. And they were all amazed so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Luke 8:25. Christ controls nature. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Then you had the cognate, same family of words, epitage, the noun, E-P-I-T-A-G-E, used 7 times, command or order. Titus 1:3, compared to 2:15, where it's translated authority. Same word, different translations, but in the proper times, manifested as, even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. And then 2:15, there is translated authority. These things speak or communicate and exhort and reprove with all authority, with all command. Let no one be contemptuous toward you. Compound verb point D, diatasso, D-I-T-A-T-A-S-S-O, used 16 times to command, order, give instructions, arrange. This word emphasizes the principle of the chain of command. To have a chain of command is imperative to keep things in order. Matthew 11:1. It came about when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, giving them their orders. He departed from there to teach them, proclaim in their cities. Luke 8:55. Raising from the dead, Christ, her spirit returned. She rose immediately. He raised a child from the dead. He gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Acts 18:2. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Also Acts 24:23, 1 Corinthians 7:17. Put those up on your own. Cognates from this word include the compound diatage, D-I-A-T-A-G-E, used two times, and then diatagma, D-I-A-T-A-G-M-A, used one time. That means decree. Decree is an issuance of an order. Acts 7:53. It's a law, if you will. You received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. The Mosaic law had the blessing of the angelic host because it represented absolute righteousness in its fulfillment. Also Romans 13:2, Hebrews 11:23, look at Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king's edict or decree. Then you have the compound subpoint E, hupotasso, H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O, used 38 times. It is primarily a military term, meaning to put in subjective. Subjection actively, or be subject to in the passive sense. Example, Luke 2:51. Jesus went down with them, with his parents, and came to Nazareth, and he continued subjection to them in the passive sense. Remained, obviously, was completely and totally oriented to familial authority, a parent over a child. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Also Luke 10:17-20, Romans 10:3, Ephesians 5:21. Let's see what that one says. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then James 4:7. There, submit therefore to God. The cognate of this word group is hupotage, H-U-P-O-T-A-G-E, used 4 times, translated obedience, submission, or subordination. To be subordinate, 1 Timothy 2:11. Let a woman quietly receive instruction, being subordinate with entire submissiveness. In regards to the assembly, F, you have the compound hupakuo, H-U-P-A-K-O-U-W, or O. I didn't transliterate that there. It should be omega there instead of W. Used 21 times from the word to hear, to listen, and so to obey. First step in subjection to authority is to listen to what they have to say. Acts 12:13. So these words all give you the ins and outs of what authority is about. And when he knocked on the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. A servant girl there is our word hupakuo. Compare Matthew 8:27. There, what kind of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? Acts 6:7, also Romans 6:12, 16, and 17.
Let's see. Look at those.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should not obey its lusts. Don't listen to your STA. Verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to one of the slaves for obedience, your slave is the one who you obey? Our term, hupakuo. Either in sin resulting in death, temporal, or obedience resulting in righteousness, divine good. Then verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, your sin nature in your pre-salvation days, you became obedient from the soul to that form of doctrine to which you were committed. Ephesians 6:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, 3:14, 1 Peter 3:6. The cognate of hupakuo is hupakoe, the noun, H-U-P-A-K-O-E, used 15 times, simply meaning obedience. Romans 5:19. Since we're in Romans, for so one man's disobedience made many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Obedience of Christ, listening to the Father's will in all matters. Then Hebrews 5:18. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.